Welcome to a brand new edition of Yawns. I'm Omar Moore. On this episode of the Yawns WFC podcast, Valerian Ismail's contract has been terminated by Watford Football Club. He is shown the door as the head coach, and in his place, Tom Cleverley assumes the chair for the remaining 9 games of this championship season for the Watford men's first team. We'll be talking about that and the reaction and more, all on this edition of Yawns. Dear Watford supporter, welcome to this brand new edition of Yawns, the Yawns Watford Football Club podcast. It's a great pleasure to be here with you. My name is Omar. And yes, it has been a wild 24 hours. In Watford land, the club that we love and love passionately and hold close and dear to our hearts, has made some more news over the last 24 hours, because we all know by now that Val Ismail is no longer the head coach at Watford Football Club. The men's first team will have a new coach for the time being as the interim, and that will be Tom Cleverley. Of course, we are very familiar with Mr. Cleverley, having had at least 2 different spells at Watford as a player, and this season named to the coaching room as the head coach of the under-18s. In fact, he has taken them all the way to the PDL Cup final. Of course, that is a great accomplishment, and that cup final, I think, will be played in the next few weeks. And, of course, Tom Cleverley will not be overseeing that, because he's got bigger fish to fry now with the Watford men's first team as its interim head coach. Now, this announcement was made yesterday evening, last night, roughly around 10 p.m. UK time. And I stumbled upon it maybe an hour and a half after that, and I was absolutely stunned, because even though we know that the owner of this club is not one to be shy when it comes to giving head coaches the left boot out of the Vic, I still did not expect that Val Ismail would not have at least lasted to the end of the season. And so for me, on the one hand, when you look at the poor run of form, the run of results just weren't good enough. You cannot go without a win at the Vic in the championship since November 28th. And expect to keep your job, and now you're in mid-March. It's almost impossible, first of all, number one. Number two, the reason why Val actually stayed here as long as he did, when you think about it in these terms, in the context of which I'm explaining this, is the fact that he engendered a lot of goodwill, I think, with the board and with the owner, having gone on that long run, sometime in October it was, I guess, until around December, when they had lost maybe about 3 games in 21 or 22 contests. That was a phenomenal run that saw Watford rise up to as high as 7th in the table, just a point or two off the playoffs at that time as they were entering the month of December, getting into December. And then they had a stumble toward the middle of December and then really struggled. So you got to look at that. I think that long run did help Val. The relationship that Val and the board and the owner reportedly had certainly seems to have helped him, and certainly seemed to have kept him in post as long as he was kept in post by this owner. And the results obviously were a major factor. I do not believe, however, that the results are the only factor. Across football, we have seen various head coaches stay well beyond their days in a managerial or head coaching position, and the results can be downright plum awful. And yet you still see some of these head coaches surviving, some of them, not all of them, not even most of them, but some of them. There is always something deeper going on beyond the results. That's what I think when you're looking at head coaches being sacked, managers being sacked. And Val Ismail had been given full-throated support by this owner. And I'll tell you why. When Watford struggled in September of last year, September of 2023, Most Watford fans were expecting him to get the sack during the international break. What the owner and the front office did instead was to sign Val Ismail to at least 18-month plus long contract, which really stunned a lot of Watford supporters, a great many of them, certainly surprised me. And Val Ismail therefore had the strong backing and the full backing of the board and the owner. It was very clear that this was going to be Val's show, and it was going to be backed by the owner and the club, 100%. That's what that was. It's Val's show, and we're going to leave him to build this thing, and we trust him. It was all in Val we trust, with that post-international break or during international break announcement of that contract extension, that contract signing. And so that was, for me at least, as one of the Watford faithful, I don't know about you, fellow Watford supporter, but for me, that was good news. And there were some Watford supporters who greeted this with good news, encouragement, because it meant that the owner, at least it positioned publicly and signaled publicly to many of us in Watford land, that the owner was actually going to do something different and that he was actually going to settle for stability rather than the manic, marauding craziness that we've seen over the last 12 years. Some of it successful, some of it not so much. And so when it came, the international break in September, that Val Ismail was getting a contract extension, that was a good sign. And then it gave Val the freedom to do the things he wanted to do. But obviously, behind the scenes, there were other things going on. As I said, it's not just about the results. Obviously, football is a results-oriented business. Obviously, the results take a major, major priority in whether or not a head coach stays or doesn't. It's obvious that the results cannot be ignored or forgotten. But I do think that there are other factors in this, the results being obviously the biggest one. But I think that there are other things about this sacking that clearly have to do with the way that Val Ismail handled his personnel. Now, that's not even to mention the fact that nothing really of any consequence was done in the January transfer market. Notoriously, as we know, the January transfer market is not one of those where you're going to plunder four or five players. That's during the summertime. And Watford FC, with the limited resources that it has, did not and was not able to procure appreciable additions to the team. And that is exactly what Val Ismail wanted. He did not really mind too much about the result. They did try to go after a player or two. One of those players was not available to them, and one of them fell through, apparently, according to Val at the time. This is back in January, in the beginning of February, the first of the month of February, just last month. So it's not as if the football club did not try. It's just that the marriage between Val and the players, I think, was a big issue. I think that these players, after the Sunderland game in October or November, whichever it was, where Watford were abysmal and lost 2-0 at the Stadium of Light, but it really could have been 5 or 6-0, and I don't know how it wasn't. Ryan Andrews got sent off there and then picked up an extra match ban for dissent. So he had a 4-match ban. I think that after that game, when Val held every player back for 2 hours after the final whistle in the dressing room and asked them all to stand up and be counted and give an explanation for that terrible performance. Now, the run was terrific and Watford went on a really good run where they lost just 3 games in a long stretch and had ended up moving up to 7th in the table, as I mentioned earlier. But I think along the way, there were some rocky roads because Watford still did not win very many games at the Vic during that time. Maybe they won 2 in that time and had not performed particularly well in a load of these games, especially the ones at the Vic. And yet Watford were on this long run. And I do think during that time, there were some issues. And I think those came to a head perhaps in January. I do think that there were some key moments that helped me see that Val Ismail was probably under some pressure for his job. Obviously the results, but when we got into January and we got to the FA Cup match against Chesterfield, when Watford struggled in that match, that was a point where I began to look really at Val Ishmael and wonder if this was all about a lack of confidence or not, because the players have had moments this season where they can show you, have shown you, how dynamic and dangerous they are, whether it's the game against Queen's Park Rangers to start the season, whether it was the following game at home against Plymouth, whether it was the game at Preston North End where they scored 4 goals, I believe it was, in the second half, if not all 5 of their goals, whether it was the game where they came from behind, I believe that was the game, the last game that Watford won back on November the 28th at the Vic, when they came from 2-0 down against Norwich. There was character shown in those kinds of games, in that particular game, and in the game against Preston, where I think Preston were the ones that took the lead, and Watford scored, I think, 4 or 5 unanswered goals to make it a 5-1 win for them. The bottom line is that, look, there were moments this season where this team showed you character. They had an identity at times, and Val carved that out, especially during this long run that they went on. But the bottom line is that I think the cracks started to show just around Christmas, on Boxing Day and after that, and Watford really never got into any consistent rhythm at all. They were smashed at home to Bristol City, and I thought that was the beginning of it all, where they lost 4-1 at home to Bristol City. And then on New Year's Day, they fought like hell against Plymouth, taking the lead, losing the lead, then tying the match at 3-3 in a thrilling contest. And then, of course, came the FA Cup game against Chesterfield. And Chesterfield, who, look, played very, very well in that game, were very unfortunate as a League One side not to have come away from them with an upset. Watford found a way through at the very end with TDB from the penalty spot. I think it was the 96th minute, 95th minute, or thereabouts. And then that game was the only game that Watford had won at the Vic in 2024. But the way they won it, they were down. Through 75 minutes of this match, they were down 1-0 at home to a League One team. And that was another issue where Watford were concerned. They struggled at home even to beat a League One outfit. Now, that must have raised the hackles and the ire and the notice and the eyebrows of the Watford owner and the front office and the board. And so I think from there is probably where we started to see the issues. And then the FA Cup game at the Vic against Southampton, where Watford played well in the first half of the game and tried to finish off the game, but could not, because when Emmanuel Dennis arrived, he was really the only major player that Watford got in the January window. Emmanuel Dennis, who hadn't played football for 2 months at that point, again, literally maybe 2 or 3 months, hadn't played since November, was brought into the game late against Southampton, having just been acquired earlier on a few days prior to that, reacquired by Watford for Dennis 2.0, Dennis the Menace 2.0. And Dennis got on the pitch, did not defend well, turned his back to a Southampton player, I believe it was Jack Armstrong. And Jack Armstrong, with the moment that Dennis turned his back, found the space to drive the ball low past Daniel Backman into the bottom right-hand corner and give Southampton an equalizer in the 89th minute, where Watford were literally about 5 or 6 minutes, give or take, with the injury time that was sure to come, literally 5 or 6 minutes away from advancing to the fifth round. Using a player who was not fit, had not played for more than 2 months, almost 3 months, was something that I think was a massive mistake. And for me, at least, these kinds of things continue to happen, and that's where my eyebrows were raised at Val, having been someone who was, like some Watford fans were, very skeptical of him when he was announced as the head coach in May of 2023, and skeptical because his record at previous clubs, at least his tenures at previous clubs, and I know that football is that kind of results-oriented thing, and of course managers go and come and come and go. But he had been sacked 3 times in the last 2+ years. And so there was a concern there. There was a concern there about that. And coming into Vicarage Road with that kind of a record, 3 sackings in just about 2 years or thereabouts, raised the eyebrows. It raised my eyebrows. But I was willing to give him a chance. I was willing to do that. And I did, as some Watford fans were making it very clear they didn't want Val Ishmael to even be the head coach at the club. But these things, these strange things, putting in an unfit player, a player who hadn't played football for 2+ months, into a critical FA Cup game against a Southampton side that had been on the rampage for the better part of 4.5 months. Things like that raised my eyebrows. And then the whole situation with Ryan Andrews raised my eyebrows. A player who was, what, 19, is 19 or 20 years of age. Someone who was a bright spark, still is a bright spark. Someone who I think is a dynamic player and has a lot more to show and a lot more potential and a lot more growth to come. Electrifying player at times. Someone who has scored several goals for Watford this season. One or two this season, I think one or two last season. Ryan Andrews is a player who I think has a very bright future, would probably be a future captain at this team, at this club. And at right back, he is probably the best option that Watford have. So why would Valishmar not play specifically, not start Ryan Andrews, although he was healthy, although he was fit? Why would he not start him in several games, inexplicably? The excuses from Valishmar were, well, he needs to have a rest. He's young. You can't overload a teenager like this. He needs some time. He needs to be 100%. He needs to have some rest. You can't go this hard on him, da-da-da-da-da-da. I think, last time I checked, Ryan Andrews was handling life in the championship pretty damn well. Which leads me to believe that regardless of the public statements that were made by the head coach at the time, there was probably something else going on behind the scenes. And the reason why I come to that conclusion, fellow Watford supporter, is because Wayne Andrews, a name that you will definitely remember if you are of a certain age and a Watford Football Club supporter, is the father of Ryan Andrews. And Wayne Andrews, a few weeks ago, took to social media to express his discontent with the way that his son, Ryan Andrews, was being treated by the head coach, and that what was happening to his son did not sit well with him. And he made that clear and in no uncertain terms. That particular situation on social media got a lot of attention, not just from the fans, but the press as well. And I think that that definitely came back to the head coach. I don't think any head coach who is playing a player or not playing a player is going to miss the comments of one of the parents of the player that's not being played or started. I don't think so. That's not going to be missed. So that information clearly got back to Val. And it was big news in Watford. Big news in Watford land. And Wayne Andrews made it very clear where he stood. And I noticed that incident too. But I also thought that it didn't make sense to sit a player who was healthy, who is younger, who is spry, who has electrifying pace, who makes some good decisions in general, who is a spirited, tough-nosed player, especially in a side that lacks consistency, lacks ambition, and lacks any kind of heart and desire. I don't know why you would leave Ryan Andrews sometimes completely off the bench in some of these starting lineups, and why you would leave him on the bench in the time that you named him to the bench and not start the man. So that was something that raised my hackles as well. And then to top things all off, one, to start Jeremy Ngakoue, who hadn't played for 4 months, ahead of a very healthy and fit Ryan Andrews, didn't make any sense to me. That was the game at Millwall. And Jeremy Ngakoue promptly got injured in that game and now is currently going to miss a month of football with that injury that he sustained at Millwall a week or two ago. And really, when you think about it, it could have been avoided. Not to say that it's definitely the reason that he got injured is because Val played him, but if he didn't get to play, and if he wasn't named to start, and if he wasn't named on the bench at all, he wouldn't have got hurt. I know. Someone's going to say, well, he might have got hurt walking to the grocery store. Anything is possible. And injuries can be freak occurrences. But it further damned Val's position when he sidelined a healthy Ryan Andrews with the purported excuse that, well, he's a young lad, he needs to be rested. It didn't make sense, that excuse. And in a squad that is thin, in a squad that does not have the requisite desire and energy and commitment every week, why would you sit one of the few players who actually does put his all into the games? Yeah, there have been times that Ryan Andrews hasn't had the best of football matches, but it didn't make sense on the outside, for me at least, as a Watford supporter, as a Watford faithful. On the outside looking in, it didn't make any sense. And the way that the club handled that whole situation wasn't great either, but particularly the manager. And I don't get the sense that the club necessarily supported Val Ismail in the whole thing around that Ryan Andrews. Now, privately they may have, but publicly you didn't get there, at least unless I didn't read one particular news story here or there. You didn't get the sense that the ownership was in league with Val with this move around Ryan Andrews. Now, Ryan Andrews is a young lad. He should be playing all of these games. I don't understand why our club has this cotton wool treatment of younger players. You should be riding these players. They are younger, they are stronger, they are faster. The same thing happened with Matthias Martins. The same thing happened with Yasser Asprilla. There was all of this, well, we've got to protect him. Remember that with Yasser Asprilla a couple of seasons back when they were last season actually, when they were just relegated from the Premier League. And the same kind of attitude. Well, we've got to keep him in cotton wool. And when you've got a thin squad, you have very few options. You've got to play these players. But Val Ismail wasn't doing that. And then some of the formations, some of the substitutions were an issue, at least for me the last few weeks. Some of the things did not make sense. The whole situation around bringing on Rajovic late in the game against Millwall, speaking of Millwall from earlier, bringing him into that game and then having him take throw-ins, which I just didn't understand that. Throw-ins into the box because he's got a long throw. When you need to have Rajovic, a 6'4" body, you need to have him in the box, not throw-ins for Rajovic. He needs to be in the box. Someone else can throw the ball in from there. But these things just, my whole point is, did not make any sense to me. And I think these also are other ingredients in the mix that caused Val Ismail to lose his position as the Watford Football Club head coach. Well, that's pretty much the size of it. And the results, as I said, obviously didn't help. I think the other thing that really doomed Val was what happened after he said this.
After conceding an early goal on Saturday, how important is it to get off to a good start tomorrow, especially in front of a home crowd?
Yes, especially home. We need to get our fans on board, but it's up to us. As I say, since I'm here, I recognize our fans. They have a very good knowledge about the team, a good feeling about the game every time. And if we want the massive support we expected, it's up to us from minute one to give a good sign in which direction we want to have the game.
And those words from Val Ismail in his pre-match press conference prior to the game against Swansea really were words that were revealed in stark contrast to the first half of the game against Swansea at the Vic just hours later, just a day or so later after that press conference. It was very, very telling that when those words were spoken, maybe 24 hours before that pitiful performance in the first half against Swansea last week, it really was a bellwether, perhaps, of things to come. And that was another thing that really caught my interest when, after those words were spoken, 24 hours later, barely 24 hours later, Watford came out at the Vic and gave the fans absolutely nothing to cheer about in the first half against Swansea. Not only did the Watford fan base remain very, very quiet at the Vic in the first half of the game against Swansea, they booed, and lustily so. And it was absolutely justified. They booed their golden boys off the pitch. Booed them off the pitch. They sleptwalked through that entire first half. And they were fortunate that they weren't down further than the 1-0 that they were down against Swansea in that contest. Daniel Batman made a couple of very nervy errors in that game in the first half. And then Watford got a goal in the second half and were pushing and pushing to try to win the game. But we've seen this all season long. Watford going down early in a game and then having to fight from behind, usually in the second half, to make up the issue and the problem at hand, which was the obvious deficit in all these games. We've seen this home and away, but especially at the Vic. And it has marked this long, long run at the Vic that they've gone without winning a championship game. And all of those things together, plus Val not acknowledging the fans at the end of these matches now, not clapping the fans after the matches, win, lose, or draw, going straight down the tunnel. Not a good look. Watford fans did not go unnoticed amongst us as Watford supporters, and some of us took to social media to talk about it. You know, people who travel to the game, some of us who take that plane ride or coach ride or car ride or train ride up and down the English countryside, up and down England, and from overseas, and then come in to see that the manager who you've traveled to, the team that you traveled all the way from a certain distance or even down around the corner to see, hasn't had the courtesy or the decency, nor the decency to clap you attending and traveling to see the team that he is head coach of. And that, again, as I said, did not go unnoticed by many in the Watford fan base. And obviously, when this club made it very clear over the last season or so that they wanted to bring the disaffected fans in the Watford faithful closer to the club and bring the club closer back to them, these things were stated clearly in interviews, in statements through the Watford Observer, etc., etc., that there was going to be this attempt also at these fan forums, the At Our Place forum and the fan forum that took place last summer, that these are things that the club really wanted to do better on and acknowledged that they had fallen short on these things. And so Val Ismail, who had began to clap the fans when he was first in the dugout at Watford, all of a sudden, in the last few weeks, maybe the last month or so, well, or even longer than that, stopped acknowledging the fans, stopped clapping the fans at the end of these matches, which is a real problem, a real problem. And that really means, even if there are some fans who wanted Val gone, who said things that were objectionable, you have to, again, short of these things being toxic or racist or anything else, you have to take the good with the bad when you are a manager of any football club, and especially when you're the manager of Watford Football Club, the head coach of Watford Football Club. You can't be head coach of Watford Football Club's men's first team only when you're winning games. You are also head coach when you lose the games, when you draw the games. You are the head coach. And when you're winning the games, you obviously are going to expect the fans to back you and support you. Most of them are going to. You'll always have the one or two on social media who will say, well, I don't like the style of football. And, you know, dear, even though you got the 3 points, you know, there'll always be one or two who will complain for whatever reason. That's going to happen. That's life. But when you are the head coach of any football team, especially any football club, especially Watford Football Club, you have to understand, and Val Ismail, having been a manager at several clubs, surely understands this and understood this while he was here, is that you're going to have games where your team plays poorly. In our case, more of the latter. And the bottom line is that your manager, when they're losing the games, you are the manager when they lose to the likes of Coventry, when they lose, as they did yesterday to Coventry, when they lose to the likes of a Millwall, or they lose to the likes of a Huddersfield Town, or they lose to the likes of a Leicester City, or they lose to the likes of a Bristol City. You're the manager. Win, lose, or draw. And there are going to be some fans. Some of them are going to be very obnoxious, and some of them are going to be worse than that. And some of them are just going to be very angry because the style of football and the poor results and the Jekyll and Hyde performances and the failure to really shake up your lineup and play different formations and start two up top, which a lot of fans have been calling for forever, to start these games with two up top, your failure to do those things and your failure to play or to start specifically Ryan Andrews is going to upset some Watford supporters. And you can't be naive to that reality. And so Val Ishmael, I think, really did himself no favors with all of these things that I have brought up here. Shunning the fans at the end, and some people might listen to this and think, well, that's no big deal. But it is a big deal when people have traveled from afar and wide and locally. Doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes away. They have made that time and effort in their schedule, whether it's midweek football when the rain's lashing down at times, or whether it's on the weekend. They've made the time and the effort to travel up or down the country, to fly in from overseas or fly in from whichever part of England you are in or wherever you are, to fly in, because some people take the planes to some of these games. And the bottom line is that some people take overnight stays at hotels and they might have a family of four or more. And for Val Ishmael, who's comfortably ensconced in his salary and all the rest of it, he's comfortably secure on an economic basis, surely. You really should take at least a minute to clap the fans. It don't even take a minute to do. Just go over to the fans and clap them. Some of those fans might be shouting obscenities. Some of those fans might be saying to you, you know, you need to do a lot better than this. Some of you, the fans might be worse than all of that. But you are the head coach of the football club, at least you were, and the very least you can do is at least acknowledge the fact that these fans took time out of their lives to follow you and this team to the stadium that you're playing at. You just have to take that kind of reality and accept that there are going to be some fans who are going to be upset at you. And they're not upset at you out in a vacuum. They're upset at you because you've gone 3+ months without winning a home match in the championship. I mean, should you expect the fans not to say something about that? Not to be upset about that? Not in some cases to be downright angry about that? Compounded with the fact that you're not playing our best right-back option in the starting lineup, of course there's going to be some discontent among some of the Watford fan base. And there'll be some in the Watford fan base who will passively sit there and they will not register a jot on the blood pressure meter around any of this. That happens too. And I'm sure that's the Watford fan that Val Ishmael's probably a bit more comfortable with, because that particular fan is passionate but is not someone perhaps who's going to come out and make a big stink or say anything. So Val doesn't know that they may not like the football, but because they're not registering an audible objection, he thinks that everything's fine. Every fan is different at the club we love. That's what makes the world go round. That's what makes Watford Land go round. And so in this instance, of all the things I've outlined, it was clearly understandable why the club made this decision to let Val go. When I come back, I'm going to talk about why this was not a good idea. That's next.
What sort of challenge are you expecting from Swansea? They come into the game in good form, having won a couple of matches.
Listen, it's not about Swansea, it's about us. See, which challenge we will give them to do. This is the most important thing. I think now it's the focus on us. It's clearly on us. The right attitude, the right mentality, the right desire to make sure we do the right thing. And as I say, whatever it takes, we have to win the game.
To do whatever it takes to win the game. Well, Watford FC, the men's first team, did not do whatever it took to win many of the games they played under Val Ishmael this season. And that's obviously one of the big reasons why Val Ishmael was sacked. But for me, I'm not celebrating his sacking. And I've said this before. If you go to the Yawns WFC YouTube channel, and of course I've said this on X when you go to the Yawns observation, and obviously the Twitter space that I did on Saturday, March the 9th, where I spoke for over an hour about all of what happened in the last 24 hours and, of course, all of the pluses and minuses of Val, plus the thing I'm going to talk about here again, which is I'm not celebrating Val Ishmael being sacked, and I'm not happy that he's gone. Because although in the short term, it seems like a move that is smart as far as the club's concerned, in the long term, I don't think it is. Because as I have said before in other places, on the forum I have mentioned previously, what is the point of building anything if you're going to keep sacking your builder? If you have brought a head coach in, as you did Val Ishmael last May, to build the foundations of a men's first team that has had more than its fair share of issues in a club that has been floundering in some areas and has definitely been a place that's quite dysfunctional at times over these last few years under this particular owner, then you should bring him in to do that job. You should bring him in to build. That means that the foundation that you're building is not going to take 8 months or 9 months. It may well take a good while longer than that. And usually in football, if you're trying to build a club and build an identity and build a men's first team that is supposed to elevate the club's standing and do certain things, you have to, first of all, identify what your goals are, what your targets are. Identify what the 3 to 5+ year plan will be, and make sure you have a good feel and a good read on what it is you're trying to accomplish. Now, obviously, it's a results-oriented business, but as I said earlier, I think it's deeper than that. It goes deeper than just the results. It also goes to the attitude and mentality of the ownership. You heard Val talk about the right mentality, the right mindset, all the rest of it. He said in the quote there, pre-Swansea. But that also applies to the board. The right mentality, the right attitude, that applies to the owner. The right mentality, the right attitude, that applies to the front office. And it's not to say that these entities I've just mentioned have not tried to get players in here. It's the kinds of players they're bringing in. But it's also about the approach for the long term. And as I have said in other areas on social media and also on the Yawns WFC YouTube channel, what is the long-term plan for this men's first team as far as the Watford board and owner are concerned? What is the plan? I could not identify what the plan is. And I don't think you can either as a Watford supporter. If the whole idea was to build a foundation and stick with a manager, you brought Val in, you stuck with him after some poor results in September of this past year, in this same season that we're presently located in. You gave him a contract extension, which for many fans signaled, all right, this manager's going to be here for a while. He'll be here next season. And I get that contracts are made to be broken, and I say that all the time, because it's true. But if you are building something, you have to be prepared, as the manager clearly was, the head coach, to get some ups and downs during the time that you're here. And your builder isn't always going to have the right tools. And sometimes your builder's not going to be given the right tools. And sometimes your builder's not going to be given the tools that the builder wants. And so Val Ishmael was put in that position. And when he got that extension, it was presumed that he would stay on for as long as that contract would dictate. Now, of course, results are important. They're very important. And some people will say they're the only thing. But I don't buy that. There are other things too. And I have to say, what is the identity? What is the purpose? What is the purpose in the long term? Because I don't think that sacking Val Ishmael 9 games before the end of a season makes a lot of sense to me. People will point to the fact that Watford now, as of the time I'm recording this, are in 14th place. People will point to the fact that they are 7 points above the relegation zone, only 7. People will point to these kinds of things. They will also point to the fact that Watford played just a few of the teams that are below them again this season. They will take on the likes of Birmingham City again. That's the next game they will play. And I think that's the only team that they will play again in all of the teams that they have played that are all below them. They're finished with Rotherham, who have dead bottom. They're going to get relegated in the next couple of games. They finished with Sheffield Wednesday. They finished with Huddersfield, QPR, Stoke they've finished with. And they've also finished with Blackburn Rovers and Plymouth Argyle and Millwall and Swansea. Maybe that's what the board was looking at. But the point is that I don't think Watford were ever going to get relegated, ever. They had relegation form, and definitely the last 3 months, last two plus months, have been relegation form, the last 3.5 months for sure. That has been Watford's situation. But I don't think for the long term this is smart for this so-called purported rebuilding brand. Because if we are rebuilding as a club, if we are rebuilding as a club, then let us rebuild. And let that take us to wherever it takes us. Let the chips fall where they may. If it means that we have to actually get relegated to League One, so be it. But if that is done with the purpose of building a standing foundation and an identity, then it's worth it in the end. It's worth it in the end. Growing pains are necessary. Sometimes you will take 4 steps back before you take 2 forward. But this owner is not willing to take that kind of chance. And as a result, it will be a continuation of a revolving door of chaos. And that is where I think this move was not the smart one for Watford Football Club. Even if there is some fan discontent out there amongst us, I don't think long term this made a sense. This made sense. I don't. Because again, we are just going to keep doing what we've been doing with this owner. And sacking managers, that you now will eventually get the 20th manager in here in the last 11 years. It has not brought any stability. It has brought a carnival of chaos. And Watford FC is continued to be looked at as a laughingstock. I am definitely not in favor of Val Ishmael being sacked 9 games before the end of the season. If you want to sack him at the end of the campaign. But I just don't understand the methodology behind it in terms of for the long term. In the short term, I understand why he had to go. But in the long term, I don't think this made any sense. Then the question becomes, what is your long-term plan for this club? What is that when it comes to this men's first team? Because stability certainly can't be one of them if you keep sacking managers. You have to be prepared to allow a manager to build something, to build stability, to build a foundation. And you can't do that with a thin squad and not appreciably trying to actually get players in here during the transfer market. I know they did try, but I mean, you really have to be prepared to part with some of your players, not the possessions like Ryan Andrews, but prized possessions or players who you think are not going to do it here in the long run. You've signed Georgie to an extra contract. You signed Daniel Batman to a 5-year deal. Admittedly, that has not been a successful contract so far, a 5-year deal for Daniel Batman, who's no longer the captain here. And you've also picked up a player, Mamadou, who is going to be at Watford in the summer. 18-year-old, very promising, looks very good. Looking forward to seeing him here. But Watford are going to have to really go for broke in this transfer market this summer, because Watford, if they really do want to start building, they're going to have to stick with a manager to do it and get the talent in here to do it. Because I think while there's some talented players on this particular team, I don't think collectively they are very good together. And we've seen that. This team did not play for Val appreciably or enough. They showed some character at times, but it wasn't consistent enough. 2 halves of football that looked very different from each other. Sometimes both halves looked terrible. That was the only thing you could count on in some of these games. And then sometimes it was Jekyll and Watford. Or in the case of the game yesterday against Coventry, Watford and Jekyll. Great first half, a poor and underwhelming second half. What is the long-term plan for the men's first team? I really want to know what that is, because when you keep sacking managers, you're not going to get any stability here at all. You're just going to get a clown circus. Next, I'll talk about Tom Cleverley. He will be in the hot seat next, albeit as the interim head coach at the football club we love. Tom Cleverley is now the head coach, I should say interim head coach at Watford Football Club of the men's first team. And I think it's good. It's a good appointment. I think it's a very safe one. I think it's a very obvious one. Tom Cleverley, of course, most recently with Watford as a player just last season and had to retire from playing because of injuries, is in the coaching staff at Watford. So he's been in amongst these players. He also, of course, has played alongside these players as recently as last season. And, of course, knows them very well for the vast majority of them that are here. And so Tom Cleverley is going to take charge of these remaining 9 games. He really doesn't have too much pressure on him, I guess, unless you're someone who does think that Watford are in a proper relegation scrap. I know that they do play Leeds and Ipswich and Southampton and West Bromwich Albion in the next few weeks. But I don't think that Watford are going to get relegated, and I don't think that they're going to get dragged any deeper into the mire that they are in at the moment. I do think that these players will play for Tom Cleverley. I think Tom Cleverley is going to be a breath of fresh air for a lot of these players who I think wore thin from Val. They really were worn down, I think, probably from him in some respects. Tom Cleverley is not going to be the strict disciplinarian that I think this club needed, this men's first team needed, and Val supplied that. But Tom Cleverley is going to be a different manager in that respect. I think he's going to try more things. I think he's going to be a bit more adventurous. And I think he's going to be someone, because he has played with these players, he's going to really begin to understand some of the things that will make it work for these players under him. Now, my only thing about Tom Cleverley is when it comes to the whole idea of issues, if there are any issues in these 9 games, will these players tune him out or will they go along with him? Because I doubt that Tom Cleverley will be here beyond, and this is the Watford men's first team coach for the first team. I doubt that he'll be here for that next season, but you never know. So this could be an audition for Tom Cleverley, and I do wish him well and I give him my full support. Best of luck, Tom. And of course, we'll find out about the backroom staff shortly. But that's really all I have to say about Tom Cleverley, because I think the bigger news is that Val Ishmael is gone. Definitely wishing Tom Cleverley well. Don't forget to follow along on X and on Instagram at YouAwnsWFC, on the YouAwnsWFC YouTube channel at YouAwnsWFC. That's youtube.com/@U. O-R-N-S-W-F-C. And of course, this podcast, which is available on Apple, Spotify, and Google. That is it for this edition of Yawns. I'm Omar. Thank you very much, Watford supporter, for listening. And until next time, Yawns!